You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire here, back with Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire for this full game preview of the Steelers. Matthew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great as always.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, we're going to get into our full game breakdown of this Ravens at Steelers game. But first, Matthew, I want to talk to you about the stuff that unfolded this week with the Ravens. A lot of roster shuffling, a lot of roster moves. But first, I think I want to ask you about, is it time to hit the panic button on this Ravens defense, or is there still time for them to figure it out? A lot of Ravens fans have been clamoring that after giving up over 1,000 yards over the last 2 weeks combined, plus 73 points combined as well, that it's just time to hit the panic button, shuffle things up a bit. And the Ravens did that a bit with Tim Williams' release. But do you think that it's panic mode right now?
I think if you're a fan that was expecting them to be the number one ranked defense yet again, absolutely, because it's not going to happen. But the reality is no, you shouldn't be. This is a defense that, if you've been paying a lot of attention, they've got tons of talent, but it's a bunch of new guys. You know, they think about all the guys they lost: Eric Weddle, Za'Darius Smith, Terrell Suggs, C.J. Mosley. Yeah, you lost a lot of those guys. And then on top of it, you lost Jimmy Smith now for effectively four games. You lost Tavon Young now for the entire season. I mean, realistically, I just rattled off what half of the starting defense is no longer playing. Man, when you do that, you're going to have some lapses. You're going to have some issues when you're bringing in guys like Maurice Kennedy, who was on the practice squad, a month ago. Those things are going to happen. It's somewhat inevitable. It's frustrating as fans. I get it. But if they were, in the top 10 even right now, that would be ridiculously shocking. So, no, it's not time to hit the panic button. They'll improve as the season goes on, simply just by gelling together, by getting rid of the Tim Williamses and kind of figuring out, hey, this guy's going to go in. This guy's strength is this. He's going to do this. This guy can, do this better, so we're going to sub him out for here. That's what's going to happen over the next few weeks. If by midseason we haven't seen any difference and we continue to see the same issue over and over and over again, then yeah, I'd hit the panic button, simply because that means coaching isn't happening any longer, or guys have just been kind of given up upon. But man, we're 4 weeks into the season. You got 12 more games left. There's so much football left to play.
And let's get into Tim Williams, because some Ravens fans on Twitter I saw were saying this is too early for a guy to be cut like Tim Williams. Let him play. Let him prove himself. But that's what the Ravens have been doing. They've been putting him in situations for him to succeed. He proved that he couldn't set the edge as well as we hoped he would. He couldn't get to the quarterback as well as we hoped he would. And Eric DaCosta said, if you can't prove to me that you're going to produce, then you're going to go. And he sent a message to this Ravens team. Do you think that this was too early to cut Williams, or do you think that this message was well warranted?
Oh, I think it's definitely well warranted. I mean, he's played roughly about 31% of the defensive snaps, and he has zero sacks, zero quarterback hits, and two tackles. I mean, just by standing on the field in the middle of the field, you probably would have more than two tackles by this point. If you're playing 31% of the time, that's not good for him. And it's not like it's his first year. It's not his second year. The guy's been in the league for a little bit, and he's been given chances. And he was a healthy scratch most of last year and a healthy scratch most of his rookie year. If he hasn't picked it up by now enough to even sniff the quarterback on a regular basis, I don't want to say he's never going to get it, because that's not accurate. But man, it's time for a change of scenery for him, if that's the case. And at this point, you're better off finding someone that's still out in the street that can come in and at least gives you the potential to do something with it, gives you the potential to go ahead and develop into that. Tim Williams so far has not done that. And I know fans loved the guy. I know everyone expected him to do well, but there's no way that you can look at his stats and look at how much he's played and go, yep, that's a guy that deserves more opportunities, if you also hated on Breshad Perriman for getting a ton of opportunities and never doing anything with it.
And looking at who the Ravens filled Tim Williams' rush spot with, Josh Bynes, the guy who made that last tackle in the Super Bowl that secured the Ravens their second championship. The Ravens also bringing in LJ Fort, a guy who is a good special teams player, can play a good middle linebacker. And these guys are relatively unknowns. They're no Brandon Marshall, no Mason Foster, but they came in and I think they're learning the playbook and they're going to get the job done. I'm higher on these guys than some Ravens fans are at the moment. Matthew, what is your initial reaction to these signings? Do you think they're going to help the ball club out?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think you look at, Bynes and Fort. Look, they might not necessarily be studs. And if you're finding a stud that's still in free agency right now, that's weird. It's never going to happen. Or there's other red flags that, this team just isn't going to ignore. So it's just never going to happen. But when you look at, really all the inside linebackers, Young, Onwuasu, Board, all of them are not playing well. They're just not in any facet of the game, in a pass rush, in coverage, in run defense. None of them are doing very well. Some of them are doing better than others, but you need to bring guys in here with experience, and that's something that I kind of talked about all offseason with this linebacker group is they don't have any experience. It's a bunch of guys that are really getting their first starts, getting their first chance to lead a defense, and that can do great things, but the flip side of that is also that they just don't. They struggle under that pressure. They struggle under their first starts, and that should be somewhat expected. And you don't have someone that they can kind of lean on and go, a Darryl Smith for that matter, that they can lean on and go, hey man, what am I doing wrong? Am I over pursuing here? Am I getting in my head too much? Am I thinking too much about it? Or am I just reacting so quickly that I'm not letting my brain take over? They don't get a chance to ask those questions because they don't have anybody on the squad that has ever done it before. I mean, realistically, Onwuasu is the old man on the defense in just, a few years in this league and a few starts in this league. So, having a guy like Fort, having a guy like Bynes who has done this for years upon years upon years and at a pretty high level, that gives you so much for those young players to be able to kind of bounce off of. And, man, Fort and Bynes, they play special teams. So it's a plus-plus. And you got rid of guys who aren't necessarily playing all that well, and like a Tim Williams.
Also, another roster move that happened just yesterday was the Ravens placed Brendan Troywick on injured reserve, a special team standout who impressed me in the limited snaps he played both on special teams and on defense. The Ravens have another open roster spot now. Matthew, what do you expect them to do with that roster spot?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to depend on how healthy really is Brandon Williams. Coach Harbaugh really didn't kind of go into the specific injury. He actually very explicitly didn't call it an injury and said it's just kind of a thing that causes him a lot of pain. So like arthritis or, we could speculate all day about what it is, but how healthy is he and is he going to be able to return? And if he can't return this week, how long is he really going to be out realistically? If that's the case, then you bring in a defensive tackle. And apparently, according to the Athletic's Jeff Zee, they had made an offer to the former Bengals defensive tackle. Can't remember his name off the top of my head, Pico. I think that kind of maybe leans to where their decision is, but you need to get a pass rusher. You let go of Tim Williams. You don't really have pass rushers. That's going to have to happen. It's just a matter of, kind of when, really, more than anything else.
Finally, Matthew, before we go to break, there have been a lot of trade rumors circulating across the league. Jalen Ramsey, obviously the big one, but also guys like Von Miller, Chris Harris, Stephon Diggs, to name a few. We saw the Ravens potentially offering offer to Jacksonville of the Hayden Hurst and two first-round picks, I believe it was. Do you expect the Ravens to make a splash play for a big name, or do you expect them to really keep their future and build the way they've been building?
I'd say, first and foremost, when it comes to that report about what they were willing to pay for Ramsey, I take that with a huge grain of salt. A lot of that stuff is played out in the media and on Twitter, and a lot of it is a lot of fans saying a lot of things as though it's accurate. And even some reporters kind of making stuff up. But, take some of that stuff with a grain of salt. But, if there is a solid pass rusher, if there's a solid corner that is going to come available and is a reasonable cost, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. This is a team that has, you know, a good bit of cap space in the coming years. So if you get someone that's relatively young, or you get someone that, you know, fills a role that you have, and again, you can get them for, you know, less than a first round pick. I don't see why you wouldn't, if you're Baltimore, with the offense that you have, anything in addition to the defense you have, and hopefully it grows into, is really just a bonus. But again, you got to play that what's it worth. And a guy like Ramsey, you're going to have to re-sign ultimately. He's not really going to play on his entire rookie deal, so you got to factor that into it. A guy like Von Miller might want a little bit more cash now. His contract situation might do that. So you got to kind of factor in a lot of those things. But, yeah, you know, if you're Baltimore, I don't know why you wouldn't try to be aggressive. They were aggressive all offseason in trying to find some of these guys. And they were kind of mixed up in some of the trade rumors before the season ever started. I don't know why you wouldn't if you're Baltimore again.
Definitely. And I think that my big thing is that you expect these draft picks, or you want these draft picks that you have, to turn into guys like a Jalen Ramsey, a Stephon Diggs, Von Miller. So if you can go out and get the actual thing and surrender just a few more assets to get them, depending on the price tag, I think it's a smart thing to do. I know that Ravens fans are very adamant that the Ravens have been building through the draft over the last few years. They have 10 draft picks. Well, the Ravens probably aren't going to keep 10 draft picks on their roster next year. So if you can package some of those picks for maybe either higher draft picks or for a player, I think that's not a bad move by Baltimore. But we are going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to start to get into our full game breakdown of this Ravens at Steelers game. So stay tuned, and we will be right back. But before we do that, with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. Go to Blinkist.com/lockedon to try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off of your new prescription. Also, I don't know about you guys, but a game is 10 times more exciting when people are putting their money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes people just bet on their team because they're their team. Regardless whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. Between football season, the MLB playoffs, and the start of the NBA and NHL seasons, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. If you're joined right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.a-g today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Welcome back, everybody, to Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher and Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire still with you here. Matthew, I want to get right into the Steelers game because it's surprisingly a big one. You wouldn't expect me to be saying that probably if the Ravens were 3-1 here, 4-0. But with the Ravens being 2-2, coming off of two decently down weeks, albeit against good teams, the Ravens must win this game because if they drop 3 in a row and drop a game to a Mason Rudolph-led Steelers team, that would be a pretty devastating blow, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the point where you start hitting the panic button because you're 0-2 within this division. Your conference record drops down dramatically. And if you are 2-3, you know, you've kind of set yourself up to where you're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. Fighting for a playoff spot with a bad conference record, with a bad division record, not a positive. That's not where you want to be if you're Baltimore, especially since the Browns seem to have finally woken up. You know, again, you don't want to do that. Again, especially to a team like you mentioned that is led by Mason Rudolph, has a bunch of question marks on offense after their tumultuous offseason, has a defense that's still struggling, you know, spent a first-round pick and a trade to get Minkah Fitzpatrick, who Marquise Brown burned in week one. So, you know, how great is that? But if you lose to a team like this, that's probably when you should hit the panic button for the entire franchise right now is if they go ahead and drop this type of a game that they come into knowing they have to win. Week 5 is very much a must-win game for Baltimore.
Definitely. And speaking about the defense, I think that this is the game that they need to step up, especially against a young quarterback who the Ravens have historically feasted on. I mean, you saw it against Kyler Murray in week 2 when we played Arizona. Murray said the atmosphere in Baltimore was loud. We're going to Pittsburgh here, but I think that the Ravens will have the upper hand here just because Rudolph is a young guy. The Bengals are the Bengals, so I think that the Ravens defense will bounce back. But Matthew, let's get into the offense first. Lamar Jackson against Cleveland went 24 of 34, 247 yards, 3 touchdowns, and those 2 interceptions that I don't credit to him. He was playing the score on the first one, then that pressure interception that the guy came untouched, the defensive lineman tapped it to himself. What do you expect out of Lamar Jackson in this game against Pittsburgh, because with Cleveland's improved secondary and with Devin Bush being the Steelers' first-round pick who can fly all over the field, the Steelers' defense is sneaky fast. So do you expect Lamar Jackson to have a better game on the ground or through the air?
I think it's probably going to be a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I think, you know, like I mentioned before, this is kind of a must-win game for Baltimore. And if you're the coaching staff, like we had mentioned before, you cannot drop three in a row. You cannot drop two division games like this. So I expect that playbook to maybe, you know, that special page in the back to get broken out this week if you need it, which means Lamar Jackson is probably going to be tasked with, you know what, do whatever you need to win. If that means run, you know, 40 times a game, cool, congratulations. Here's thicker pads. If you need to go ahead and bomb it down the field to Marquise Brown on every play, cool, here you go. I think they're going to kind of ask him to put this offense on his shoulders a little bit and play football like we've seen him play football earlier in this season, and not necessarily have to cater too much to a specific game plan that's kind of bit Baltimore in the last 2 weeks where they just haven't really been quick to adjust on the fly.
Definitely. And I think that the Ravens will never get away from their identity, which is to run the ball. Mark Ingram against Cleveland, 12 rushes for 71 yards. He did have that fumble, but he was holding it high and tight. And that's just a play where the ball comes out that happens. Gus Edwards, 6 for 28, and Justice Hill, 2 for 8. Lamar Jackson had a good game on the ground there, too, 9 for 66. So with the Ravens running game really clicking on mostly all cylinders right now, and half of that credit has to go to the offensive line. The offensive line has played much better than a lot of people expected them to. Do you expect Mark Ingram to come out and have maybe even 20 carries in this game?
It would not shock me if that's the case, especially if they're getting out to you know, the type of game plan early on where it's, let's just batter this defense. Let's batter this young defense. Let's wear that down, that defensive line. Let's wear down those linebackers, force the safeties to come up a little bit to really cater to that. And then that's when you can go ahead and use a guy like Andrews or Marquise Brown down the field in order to go ahead and burn those guys. I think that's what you'd end up doing. So yeah, you know, pushing Mark Ingram early on is not a bad move. And if that's the case, and given the way that Pittsburgh's defense has played against the run recently, that's probably not a bad decision. I mean, they're giving up quite a few yards on the ground, especially to big, powerful backs like that. So, yeah, you know, turn this into a slugfest and make the Steelers earn it.
And Matthew, it seems like we talk about this question every week we talk. I mentioned that Lamar Jackson tends to favor Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. Last week, that was the case again, with Mark Andrews receiving 8 targets, Marquise Brown receiving 7, and then the next highest target getter was Seth Roberts with 5, followed by Miles Boykin with 3. Do you think that defenses are going to start to hone in on both these players and focus all their attention and make the Ravens and Lamar Jackson beat them from other areas, and this is what's going to happen against Pittsburgh? Or do you expect Andrews and Hollywood to still get single coverage, but not be as effective because teams know where the ball is going?
You know, that's the wise decision if you're a defense, is shut those two guys down. Obviously, they're the two big receiving threats in this offense, and Andrews and Brown. They're the guys that have gotten the most targets their way. They're the guys with the most yards in this offense, and the guys with the most touchdowns in this offense. So yeah, if you could shut both those guys down, I mean, absolutely. Make them go to Roberts, make them go to Snead, make them, you know, throw a check down to Mark Ingram or try to go ahead and find Miles Boykin. But most teams aren't Kansas City and Cleveland. Most defenses don't have those types of defenders to be able to do it. And in a game like this, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh right now is in talking to their guys. They're scared about Bush and Barron and Edmonds and Fitzpatrick trying to go ahead and cover a guy like Andrews. They are terrified of that happening. And that says something. I mean, that says their linebackers are not great in coverage. It says their safeties not great in coverage, which shouldn't be a huge shock. But, man, a guy like Andrews should be able to out-physical those guys and should be able to put up big yards. And, again, we've seen Brown go ahead and torch Fitzpatrick earlier this season when he was with Miami. So, you know, go ahead and try to if you can, man. But, you know, two teams tried to earlier this season and did not have the personnel to do it, and then got just destroyed by Baltimore because of it.
And Matthew, my last question before the break is talking about the offensive linemen. They have been a pleasant surprise, but on that Steelers defensive line, they have Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, T.J. Watt on the outside, Bud Dupree, a lot of playmakers. And the Ravens offensive line is going to be tasked with keeping Lamar Jackson clean in the pocket, making sure he has time to throw and lanes to run through. How do you expect the offensive line to shut down these players?
That's going to be tough. I mean, I think that's probably the big key to this game is how can that offensive line do? And, you know, let me go over the PFF player grades there. Dupree, 77.6 overall grade. Hayward, 89.8. Tuitt, 87.9. And Watt, 90.1. Hayward, Tuitt, and Watt are considered, quote unquote, elite by PFF, their metrics, their grading. That's a tough task for any team to go ahead and deal with, which means you're going to have to go ahead and make the pass come out quick. You're going to have to task Jackson with either scrambling to set up plays, and Baltimore's been beaten by that plenty with Ben Roethlisberger over the years, so hopefully they know how to do it. Or you're going to ask him to go ahead, and those guys need to get open quickly. Jackson needs to deliver a ball very fast, and he might have to do it in tight coverage. I think that's probably where they're going to have to lean to with that, because you cannot ask that offensive line to set up deep plays. You saw it last week against Cleveland. They were not able to do it and ultimately burned him throughout the entire game. And they didn't really shift their game plan around too much offensively to kind of fix that. This is another one of those weeks where he's going to have to get rid of the ball quick.
Definitely. I'm 100% with you. But we are going to go to break right now. When we come back, we're going to get into the defense, what they need to do to step up and get this team back on track. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Locked on Ravens. Kevin Oshaker is still with you here alongside Matthew Stevens. And Matthew, this defense has been the topic of conversation all week long with missed tackles, missed assignments. Communication wasn't the word used this week. They said the communication was a lot better. It was just all these missed assignments, missed tackles, and finishing plays that was the issue for the Ravens. So it's hard to figure out where to start, but I'll start with the pass rush because Tim Williams was released. The Ravens are now going to be relying on Jalen Ferguson a bit more. Do you expect the Ravens against the Steelers offensive line to come out and hit Mason Rudolph, or do you think that it's going to be a struggle once again?
I think if you're Don Martindale, you go ahead and make Mason Rudolph beat you. So far, Pittsburgh has done a pretty solid job of just making things super simple for Mason so that way he doesn't have to make any tough throws, he doesn't have to make any tough decisions, and it's led to him having a 67.6 completion percentage, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But they also haven't asked him to really do very much when it comes to that stuff. A lot of it has been passes to James Conner. A lot of it's been passes to, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster. So you take away those two guys, and you go ahead and put a bunch of guys in coverage. You take away those flats, which have killed Baltimore, you know, for a decade now. So that way James Conner can't go ahead and beat you and rail off a bunch of 10, 15-yard completions himself. And you go ahead and bracket coverage a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster. You don't really need to go after Mason all that much. He'll feel pressure. He'll go ahead and make the wrong read at the wrong time. He will make the mistakes for you. Or he's going to go ahead and make that step up into the next echelon of quarterbacks. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to go ahead and rely on him to beat himself.
And we talked about LJ Fort and Josh Bynes in the first segment, but I want to come back to them now because I want to talk about if you expect both to be active. Both have come in, have been learning the playbook, which is pretty complicated for the defense, especially with the scheme that Don Martindale has here. Do you expect both to be active, or if you had to choose one that had to be active, who would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd say it's probably going to be Fort that's going to be active if you had to only make one of those guys active. That being said, I have a strange feeling both of them are going to find their way onto the active squad this week. How much they play, I think, is really going to be dependent on how much and how quickly they pick up the playbook, obviously. But both these guys have some experience in defenses like this. I mean, obviously, Bynes was with Baltimore all those years ago. While things have certainly changed, calls have changed, specifics have changed, you know, he knows how to play this style of defense. Fort, obviously, Baltimore's been keeping an eye on him, both in Pittsburgh and in Philly, for all these years. So I think both those guys are going to know how to come in here and how to do the basic things. They might not necessarily play a ton, but both of them should be able to come in there and do the basic things, even if it's just, look, you guys are first down linebackers right now. Everyone else can kind of come in and do their part on second and third down, passing downs, that type of stuff. But let those guys scrape down. Let those guys go ahead and shut down the run game and play things smart just based on their experience. And then let your young, fast guys do young, fast things.
And let's talk about the guy who was probably talked about the most last week, and that's Marlon Humphrey. Got into that scuffle with Odell Beckham, which got a lot more attention than I expected it to. But what should be talked about is his play against Odell Beckham, holding the star receiver to 2 receptions for 20 yards throughout that entire game, shadowing him. That's the stuff of a lockdown corner. And with another good receiver coming into Baltimore's defensive view with Juju Smith-Schuster, do you expect Humphrey to shadow him? I know Schuster can play out of the slot, can play on the outside. So Humphrey might have a little bit harder of a time shadowing him. But do you expect Humphrey to match up with Schuster the whole game?
I think it's probably the smart move. You know, I think when you're looking at that type of an offense, you know, they don't really have a ton going for them. They don't have an Antonio Brown anymore. They have some question marks at wide receiver. You know, James Washington is not playing well. Moncrief couldn't catch a cold at this point. Deontay Johnson, while has a lot of talent and is doing well, picked up his snaps. Obviously, I think he's taking over more for Moncrief. Still isn't. I mean, he's a rookie wide receiver. Yeah, I think if you're going to do it, you put your best guy on their best guy. And their best guy by far is Smith-Schuster. And our best guy is obviously Humphrey. And then you go ahead and use Carr elsewhere. But because Smith-Schuster plays in the slot a lot more, I don't know if that is something that Humphrey feels terribly comfortable with. I don't know if that's something that, you know, Martindale feels terribly comfortable with having his guys do. So a lot of it, I think, is going to depend on that. But I think that's the wise decision, is you just man up, man. Just man your guys up on your best guys up on their best guys and see what happens. I think that's the best way to play that type of an offense.
And another thing that was talked about all week was that quote-unquote locker room dust-up between Earl Thomas and Brandon Williams. Some Ravens fans are concerned that, oh no, the culture that has been instilled in Baltimore for so many years is starting to crumble down, and it's all Earl Thomas's fault. I don't think that's exactly the case, but Matthew, what are your reactions to this little dust-up here? Are the Ravens in trouble in their locker room, or was it just the frustrations boiling over from a bad loss?
I think that's a great question. And you know, some of it is obviously frustration. Thomas came out, said just as much, that he's frustrated, that he was frustrated that Williams couldn't play, because Williams makes his team better when he's on the field. That being said, there's ways to do it. There's ways to not do it. Williams is not known for taking time off, for not playing when he can play. He obviously tested out in front of the training staff. He tested it out in front of the defensive line coach. On the field before the game, clearly couldn't go because he didn't play. I think if you're Thomas, man, you got to let that guy do his thing. Just like, you know, Thomas expects everyone to lay off of him for chilling out on that 188-yard play from Chubb because he might pull a hammy. I think Thomas has to do the same thing for Williams, and that's just recognize if a guy could go, he could go. And if you're going to go ahead and challenge him and say that he can't, that he could have gone when he didn't, yeah, you know, expect somebody to get a little angry about that. How that translates the rest of the season? Well, we'll probably define how this season goes. If, you know, in 2012, when Baltimore had that near, quote-unquote, mutiny against Harbaugh, they turned that around. They turned that into fuel. They turned that into a better understanding for one another, and they got to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl. This is one of those stories that we could be talking about, you know, months from now, as, man, remember that time that Earl Thomas and Brandon Williams nearly got into a fight in the locker room? And here they are playing the Saints in the Super Bowl. We could be doing that, or we could go, oh, man, so which one of these guys needs to get fired in the offseason, because both of them are clearly a problem? How it's going to go will really ultimately define this season. This is a team that has a ton of leadership, both on the field and in the coaching staff. I expect them to figure it out, whether it's just kind of shake hands and cool, we see different ways, we'll do our own thing. I trust that you're going to play when you can play. You trust that I'll play when I can play. And that is what it is. You know, I expect that to be kind of as far as it goes realistically.
Also, getting into the middle linebackers, Patrick Owosso is expected to take a big step forward with the departure of CJ Mosley and stepping into a bigger role. That hasn't been quite the case so far. Kenny Young, Chris Board also haven't impressed as much as people expected them to. The Ravens were confident in their young linebackers, and so far the results haven't been as pretty as they would hope they would be at this point. But what I like to preach is that these guys are young and they're learning on the fly. This Ravens team in general is very young and they're learning on the fly. And I think a lot of it comes down to expectations. And the Ravens won the North last year and the Ravens made the playoffs last year. So Ravens fans are thirsty for that feeling again. And the young guys are getting chewed out for some mistakes that are natural with those, you know, just younger players. So overall, Matthew, what have you seen throughout this first quarter of the season with these young middle linebackers?
You hit the nail right on the head, man. These are guys that are, playing hard. Anyone that's questioning that is not paying attention to what they're doing. However, they're young. They want to make a play. And sometimes young guys, when they want to make a play, that don't have the experience to know, hey, this is what this really is, or, you know, this is where I really should be. They bite on bad things. They over pursue. They, I saw it with Anwosu last week against Cleveland. He bit hard on a run fake, came up too far, ultimately vacated his area. Jarvis Landry right there for an easy, huge completion right behind him. And that's kind of what I've seen all season so far with that guy. Yeah, that stuff happens. That stuff will grow. And as you mentioned, this is a team that is kind of either retooling or rebuilding across the board. Those young guys need those plays. Those young guys need to learn in those times. If they came out and they were all stars to begin with, man, that's crazy. That would be insane. That would be Eric DaCosta would already be in the Hall of Fame, but that's not the reality of football in any way, shape, or form. Those guys are going to learn on the fly. Those guys are going to have a little bit of trial by fire, and this is their trial by fire. What determines if they're going to be good players or not is how do they learn from this? How do they improve? Do they take that stuff and go, ah, I got it. When that guy goes ahead and does this, it's a run fake. I just need to back up a little bit more. And in 4 weeks, you'll see, you know, Anwosu go ahead and have an interception over the middle because he's right where he needs to be. Or do you see him bite on that in week 17 and he's getting beat yet again? That's the determination. That's what we'll see as the season goes on. But for fans that are freaking out over this, this is a team that's young. This is a team that has a lot of cap coming up in the next few years. They have time. They have time.
Yes, they do have time, and they have a lot of draft picks also on top of that cap space. So a new injection of talent will be coming in Baltimore. But finally, Matthew, I want to ask you about your score prediction because it's a big one this week. And if the Ravens end up losing, as you mentioned, they dropped a 2-3, 0-2 in the division, and that can be rough to come back from. Not impossible, but it would be a big blow to a Ravens team that had a lot of expectations coming into the year. So this game is over, Matthew. What do you see happening?
I see this being close. The reality is with what we've seen out of the last 4 weeks, Baltimore could win by 40 really easily and just absolutely destroy the Steelers, or they could lose by 20. We don't really know, because Baltimore hasn't really been the most consistent team this season. So making a real prediction is kind of just pulling numbers out of a hat. But with what I've seen from both of these teams, Baltimore has the edge in a lot of ways. They can do a lot of things that I think Pittsburgh can't. And I think the matchups are in favor of Baltimore. Again, I mentioned it with the offense. You've got guys like Mark Andrews against linebackers who just aren't terribly good in coverage right yet. And against young linebackers, that should be a mismatch in favor of Baltimore. And you got Mark Ingram against a team that doesn't really necessarily handle the run well. And on defense, you've got an offense that in Pittsburgh that is not doing very well as a bunch of young guys. They're still kind of trying to gel versus a Baltimore Ravens defense that is also trying to gel. I think Baltimore comes out ahead, but ultimately I see this as a 30-28 game. If Baltimore wins by big, I'll take it every day. If Baltimore loses by a little bit, I won't be that shocked. But if they get blown out, then I'm scared. I'm picking a Baltimore victory, but a close one.
I am also picking a Baltimore victory, and I am also picking a close one. But I actually think this is going to be a defensive struggle. And I've been saying it all week how weird it seems to me that I'm doing this. But I've stuck with it for this long, so I might as well stick with it for now. And I'm going to say 17-14 Baltimore. My reasoning for this is that I mentioned all those guys in the Pittsburgh defensive line. I mentioned the guys in the secondary who have been playing well. And I think that the Steelers defense is a force to be reckoned with. And really what was a weakness of this team over the last few years has become a strength with the additions of Devin Bush and Steven Nelson, who has been an underrated pickup in that secondary. I also expect this to be the Ravens' coming out party on defense because they need to have one at this point. And I think that you're right. With a quarterback like Mason Rudolph, with Juju Smith-Schuster really being the only weapon on that offense, who also hasn't produced that well throughout the season. And if the Ravens can stop James Conner on the ground, I think the Steelers are going to be forced to throw with Mason Rudolph and forced to beat them through the air, which is the Ravens' best-case scenario. I mean, if you ask me who's going to win a battle between Earl Thomas and Mason Rudolph, I'll take Earl Thomas 10 out of 10 just because of his expertise, his football IQ, and his range. So Earl Thomas may be baiting Mason Rudolph into some throws this week, but I think it's going to be a defensive struggle, 17-14 Baltimore. But that's all I have for you today, Matthew. Thank you so much again for coming on the show. Hopefully we have another Ravens win to talk about next week.
Yeah, absolutely, man. These are getting a little depressing now that we're doing this.
I mean, these first 2 weeks were, you know, you couldn't imagine anything more perfect. And now you have these last 2 weeks and, you know, coming back down to earth. And I mean, coming back down hard. I didn't expect this hard of a fall. But I think that the Ravens will get back on track this week and it'll be fine. But we're going to take a quick 2-day break. When we come back on Monday, we will hopefully be discussing this Ravens win against the Steelers and getting into what went well, what didn't, who stepped up, who did not, and more. So stay tuned for that. And I will see you on Monday.